Welcome, colleagues. How are we all doing today? Thank you so much for attending our live stream podcast. I'm Steve Yass. Welcome to the office. And this is Working with Cloud Technology Effectively in a Coronavirus World, Part 2. Let's go ahead and get straight into it. Thank you so much for attending. We've got an action-packed presentation for you today. Now, this is a continuation of a course that we started in January, a couple weeks ago. And in the first part of that course, we looked at essentially the impact of coronavirus and the impact of COVID throughout the United States and the world, and in context with respect to what this has done and what the impact has been in the office, what's been in the economy, and what's been around the world. In the second half of our presentation for today, we're going to go ahead and look further into the technology side of this, really kind of understanding what cloud technology has provided in the context of COVID and how it's essentially helped with respect to organizations being able to continue and being able to prosper in these troubled and difficult times. So in today's course, we're going to first define some of the major aspects of cloud computing. We're going to look at, for example, infrastructure as a service, platform as a service, software as a service, which are all different levels of cloud technology, and which one might be the right fit for your organization. You know, from there, we're going to go ahead and really spend most of our time talking about individual companies and individual products, which I think could be incredibly helpful and useful as your organization is kind of going through this. And not only in the context of today, but also beyond. You know, one of the benefits I think of COVID is the fact that it's really kind of leapfrogged and pushed forward the technology for most organizations. It's a push in the right direction. You know, whenever these weird times are over, you know, we're going to be left with an incredible advanced infrastructure that's going to really benefit our organizations in the coming years. So that's what we're going to go ahead and discuss today. Lots of really good things and lots of technology that I think is going to be beneficial to your organization. And hopefully you're going to leave today with a lot of ideas in terms of where and how you can use this technology inside of your organization. Now, I do want to remind you, this is a live podcast, and it is also eligible for CPE credit. If you're a financial professional and you would like CPE credit for today's class, it's super easy. Head on over to cpetoday.com, use course code CTW2, take a short 5-question exam, and you'll earn 1 CPE credit for today's podcast. So if you happen to be listening and you're a CPA, you're a public accountant, or you're another type of financial professional, you can earn credit easy peasy by just listening to today's class and taking a short exam. In addition to purchasing the exam, you'll also get a DRM free copy of the learning materials in our podcast. So if you'd like to listen to it on your player of choice, you certainly can. You also get the ability to ask questions as well as access to additional learning resources. So please go ahead and check out cpetoday.com, use course code CTW2, and earn a credit for today's class. Alrighty, so our first section for today in terms of what we are going to be looking at is going to be the service levels of cloud technology. And we're going to go ahead and discuss first kind of like the major areas of cloud tech, what they are. Just like our own atmosphere, there are different atmospheres of cloud technology and different levels of cloud technology. And so we're going to go ahead and discuss what they are and some of the major differences between them. I'm also going to introduce this idea of a hybrid cloud, you know, and in a hybrid cloud, it gives the organization the ability to be able to mix and match between different service providers, both internal as well as public to the organization. So we'll talk about what that is and why you might want to consider that for your organization. We're also going to talk about the rise of as a service. You've probably noticed with a lot of the different providers that are out there and the different services that you're using, everything seems to be a service these days where they want you to pay every month for what you get. So we're going to talk about what that is, why that functions, and why that's really beneficial in the COVID world and the post-COVID world as well. And I'll give you some really kind of interesting examples of different as a services that you might want to consider utilizing in your business. And in our second half of our presentation today, you're going to notice that almost all of the different providers that we're working with are as a service providers, either a software as a service or an infrastructure as a service. And what are the major things that come along when you subscribe to these things? What are some of the benefits that you would get from that? Okay, so the first thing I want to get your get you to have an appreciation for is kind of the structure of where cloud technology starts and stops. Cloud tech, as we talked about in the first presentation, is really just a metaphor of using internet-based resources. If it's not something in your actual office, it's got to live somewhere. So what does that actually look like, and where are those services being provided? Well, they're often being provided by major vendors. Microsoft, Amazon Web Services, and others will provide a variety of different features and functions that you could choose to utilize inside your organization. However, you get tremendous flexibility with respect to what you choose to work with, as well as what level of the cloud you operate. And what's awesome is that it's not like a one size fits all thing. You actually get a lot of flexibility. And in some aspects, you could have 100% control and it's something that you manage directly yourself. And in other aspects, you can just relinquish control completely and just let the vendor provide that technology for you. Now, in the table that we have listed here, you'll notice there are two colors. There are blue and then there are gray. Now, the stuff that's in blue represents the stuff that you yourself, or maybe not you directly, but your team, your company would traditionally manage. And the stuff in gray would be the stuff that would be provided by a vendor. Now, in the traditional approach, your organization is responsible for everything. You know, if you think about the way that we did this in the 90s and the early part of the 2000s, we would go out and we would figure out what we wanted to do for our technology infrastructure. We would contact maybe Dell or HP. We would physically buy hardware. It would physically be shipped to our office. We'd physically have to put this infrastructure somewhere, maybe in the file room, maybe next to John's desk, maybe next to the water machine, who knows? But we had to physically do all of the work here, you know, everything from building the actual network itself in terms of running the cables, to physically building the servers, installing the operating system, installing all the necessary components for that to work. And that's how we did it forever. Now, in that particular approach, we're responsible for everything from the actual configuration itself, all the way up to the applications, the backup, the storage, and the security. Now, cloud tech has been around for a long time, but really it wasn't until the, I would say, mid-2000s that we all kind of came to the same realization of, why the heck does this actually have to be in my office? You know, could there be a lot of benefit, for example, of hiring or outsourcing this to another vendor, for example, Amazon or Microsoft, and let them take the cost of having to acquire the equipment and configuring it and building this all and managing it all? And maybe I just need to use the services and use the software that we've been allocated. And really, in the 2000s, that's where we started to see these major infrastructure providers kind of emerge. Now, in my opinion, the biggest of them all, as well as probably the most robust in terms of what they offer, would be Amazon Web Services. You know, and with the introduction of AWS, that's where we really started to see organizations pursuing cloud infrastructure, and not just the traditional approach of maybe co-locating some of this in like an internet service provider's data center. But really, the big difference between the old way and the new way is that we no longer buy the actual equipment itself once we kind of move up to the cloud. One of the major distinguishing factors is that we relinquish the control and we hand that off to a vendor. You know, so if we choose to utilize Amazon Web Services, for example, well, they are responsible for acquiring the hardware. They are responsible for configuring the storage. They are responsible for configuring the network, so on and so forth. Okay, now that's our base level. Now, the lowest level of the cloud is infrastructure as a service, and then it goes to platform as a service, and then ultimately software as a service, or SaaS. And at each levels of these clouds, the end company becomes responsible for less and less. You know, at the infrastructure as a level service, we're really only responsible for the logical layer. We're responsible for the software. We're responsible for the data, the operating system. But anything physical, that's somebody else's problem, whether it be a company like AWS or Azure or Rackspace, DigitalOcean or others, their problem. Platform as a service moves up a little bit further. You know, we're not responsible for the operating system or any of the middleware. We're just responsible for our direct applications and our direct data. Now, ultimately, the highest level of this would be SaaS, software as a service, where the vendor is responsible for everything and we just operate our business. So if we're a tax and accounting firm, we focus on creating tax returns and financial statements. But the actual underlying software and hardware, well, that's somebody else's issue. Now, In the context of most businesses, most of them are choosing to operate either at the infrastructure as a service level or the software as a service level. And the good news is it's not one or the other. You can utilize both of these in real time. As an example, might choose to use infrastructure as a service to host my organization's applications and data and backup. And we control essentially that configuration, but we might still choose to utilize, let's say, Google Workspaces or Microsoft 365, where Microsoft is providing or Google is providing email communication and other aspects of our productivity software. Now, at the infrastructure as a service level, all physical aspects of the infrastructure are managed by some sort of data center provider. The infrastructure provider might be AWS, it might be Azure. We choose who they are, and they're responsible for all the physical aspects like the servers, the networking, the cooling, the power. We're just responsible for anything logical, meaning the operating system, the data, the backup, and things like this. What's great about infrastructure as a service is that it's cheaper than software as a service. We get more flexibility, more control, and it's a great option for organizations that want to be cloud-based but still need a lot of control over their environment, but they don't want to manage the physical infrastructure or have stuff located in their physical office. Okay. Now, lots of different size organizations can use this. And this is what I personally recommend for a vast majority of businesses. It's the best mix of features, products, service, and price. Now, the other major level of cloud technology that you would see most often in business would be software as a service. With software as a service, we get a fixed set of tools and we're not responsible for really anything. Okay. What's great about this is that we focus on working and that's it. You know, so again, if we're a tax and accounting office, we focus on producing tax returns, we focus on producing accounting statements, and we're not responsible for all the technical mumbo jumbo that comes with running a office network. We essentially just do our work and that's it. Great examples of this would be Office 365, Microsoft 365, Zoho, Trello, others like this. What's beautiful about this is that we focus on our work and the technical aspects of the operation are really kind of maintained by that vendor. Now, with SaaS, this allows for great subscription-based services. We pay for what we use. We can scale up. We can scale down. We can add seats. We can remove seats as needed. Now, a lot of the stuff that we're seeing now with respect to products being offered are these SaaS-based approaches where the technology is being managed by a vendor. We just interact and use for what we need, you know? And what's nice about this is that we can avoid a lot of the major expenditures that come with running a computer network inside of our office. This is also a really good option for organizations in a COVID world because we can, without having to incur a bunch of costs, be able to scale up and scale down very easily. And it's also natively supports organizations that are geographically dispersed. So if you have, for example, staff that are working from home or working from the road or something else like that, well, there's no difference between where they're located and where the office is because everybody is always connecting to that data center. It's also a great organizational choice when you have limited IT technical expertise. You know, if your organization doesn't have a full IT team and you want to be able to continue to operate and take advantage of some of the latest and greatest stuff out there, well, you can be able to do this without really kind of having to have a major staff to manage all of the technical infrastructure that would normally be there. And most of the services that we're utilizing today, like Gmail and YouTube, MailChimp, QuickBooks Online, Xero, and others, these are SaaS-based tools. Now, a lot of organizations are also choosing to pursue what we call the hybrid cloud. With the hybrid cloud, it's a composition of multiple different service providers. You know, you could have private stuff that is private to your organization. You could be utilizing public services such as Google or Microsoft, and they all remain distinct of each other, but they're easily bound and easily integrated with each other to allow an organization to get the benefit of different companies and different providers. It gives you the benefit, for example, of utilizing, let's say, Office 365 for Active Directory and Microsoft Exchange and SharePoint and Teams, but then also maybe utilizing some of the great services from Google. And at the same time, also utilizing maybe a private cloud from Amazon Web Services or another infrastructure provider. In a nutshell, this allows us to completely make our organization's data center cloud-based by utilizing multiple different providers and at the same time. And really what we have to focus on at this point is just making it easy, convenient, and fast for our staff and any end users that we might have. So the takeaway from this is don't think that you need to lock yourself into a single provider. Don't think that you need to, for example, have everything with Microsoft or everything with Amazon. You can easily pick and choose now. And most of these service providers recognize that, giving you the flexibility to be able to use the stuff that they're good at and then also utilize other providers too. Now, a question that often gets asked if I am utilizing cloud, well, what kind of computer do I actually use? What kind of device? Well, the nice thing about utilizing cloud technology is that the actual device that you use for your work is relatively minor because most of the processing is being done on a central server by a central provider. The actual computer of the user isn't as important as it was even just a few years ago. Now, a lot of people choose to utilize a couple of different things. They choose to utilize, for example, a thin client. A thin client is typically a computer with a very, very limited amount of processing power, a limited processor, limited amount of memory, and you just connect virtually to these services and use them, you know, and there's plenty of examples of this. The Google Chromebook is the one that immediately comes to mind for myself, but I've also seen products from HP, Lenovo, and others where essentially they're just internet-based machines. They require the internet to be able to operate. What's great about them is that they're generally less expensive than what you would get from other devices, especially if you had a big, powerful computer. In my opinion, though, the best device that you should have for your staff would be notebook laptop computers. Gives your staff the freedom to be able to work anywhere. And given the uncertainty of COVID and the world that we're operating, having the freedom to be able to pick up and move your computer without having a bunch of wires attached to it, I think makes it a no-brainer. Now, whatever device you choose to utilize, I personally would recommend that it runs Windows 10. I've been a longtime fan of Apple devices, and I'm a huge fan of Linux devices, but still in 2021, you need to run Windows, you know? And so whatever device you choose to end up using, I think you would benefit the most from utilizing Windows 10. It has the widest support for the widest number of devices and support for almost all software in a business environment. Now, one of the things that we're starting to see is the rise of, let's call it, everything as a service. And it seems like a lot of software, a lot of service providers, a lot of companies are choosing to offer what their wares are as a service now, you know, and as a service has been around for a long time. If we think of, for example, the traditional utilities that we would have in our homes, gas, water, electric, or internet, well, we consume those as a service. We don't own the utility. We don't own, for example, in the power station, the power generation equipment or the transmission lines, but rather I have a meter hooked up into my house and I pay for what I use. You know, if I use more power, I pay for more power. If I use less power, I pay for less power. Additionally, the provider is responsible for all aspects of delivering the service. You know, short of a short in my house, let's say a blown circuit, you know, if I don't have power, well, often the whole neighborhood doesn't have power. And that's not up to me to go fix, but rather it would be up to the service provider to be able to go out there and fix the transmission lines and ensure that I'm getting power to my house. The providers aren't really, you know, kind of selling me the equipment. There might be ancillary stuff as a component of getting the service, but really what they're into is selling me power every month and sending me a bill 12 months of the year. Now, this kind of trend has spilled over into business, and we're starting to see a lot of technology companies being offering their products as a service, where instead of buying a license for a defined period of time or a perpetual where we buy it and we have it forever, instead, I pay for their service every single month. A good example of this would be QuickBooks. You know, traditionally, QuickBooks has been offered in the desktop environment where you would buy the 2021 edition of QuickBooks. And next year, you'd buy the 2022 and so on and so forth. And that software might cost anywhere from $200 to $300 per month. Well, now we have QuickBooks Online, you know, and instead of paying for that software every year, or maybe if I was a little bit more lenient on this, maybe I'm only buying it every couple of years. Now I'm paying for it every single month. And that service fee might be anywhere from $30 to $50 in the case of QuickBooks. Now, this trend is becoming pretty much the default mechanism. You know, in my life, I spend half my time teaching wonderful folks like you technology and how to use it more effectively in your business. But the other half of my life, I build software as a software developer. And almost every product I've touched in the last 10 years has been as a service, where it is a service-based approach where the customer will pay for it every month. And frankly, I don't see that trend leaving anytime soon. Like it or not, pretty much everything that you expect to utilize in the coming years, application services, platforms, they're all going to be licensed and subscribed to rather than sold to you on a perpetual basis. So it's something that we should expect to, in the coming years is becoming the default mechanism. Now, as a service isn't necessarily bad. I mean, a lot of people think, oh my God, I got to spend, you know, every single month. But, you know, above and beyond the actual price, you know, of whatever the software that you're working with, there are some additional benefits that come from software as a service. For the most part, it's easy. And it's easy for you to acquire. It's easy for you to use in the business. It's easy for the developer to be able to update and maintain. In my opinion, it's a win-win-win for all parties involved. Now, there are some features and functions that you should consider. First and foremost, low barriers to entry. It's easy with software as a service. Typically, this is going to be available in, you know, let's say a small, medium, and large type offering. You can just acquire it and implement it in your business with pretty much no outlaying of capital and almost no configuration done on your part. Typically with SaaS, you're also trading CapEx for OpEx. You're not having to acquire and have fixed infrastructure in your office, but rather you're paying a provider and you're going to be able to utilize that every month. So instead of having it on your balance sheet, instead it's going to be on your income statement. Service-based apps are also very scalable. That's one of the major things about it, you know, and you can use this in an organization that is a sole proprietor with one license, sometimes up into seemingly endless scalability. You know, whether you are a mom and pop shop, a single proprietor in a tax and accounting firm, or you're the federal government, you can utilize the same software. Microsoft 365 will work from a single license into millions of licenses, and they've got a package for everybody. This also allows for what we call multi-tenancy. Instead of having to buy physical hardware and you know, just have one device focused on that one application on that one server. Now what we can do is that we can run multiple companies and share those resources among many users. And so it makes it a lot easier from the provider side for building things. It gives you device independence. It allows users, for example, regardless of their system, if they're a Mac or they're a PC, whether they're using a mobile phone or they're using an Android, they get access to this information and they can access the services regardless of the device that they're using. And often it'll be very optimized for that particular device. There'll be a iOS version, an Android version, a website version, especially if we look at the introduction of progressive web apps or PWAs, where essentially as a developer, I can build a single application and have it serve multiple different form factors and display factors. This has never been easier than it is today, you know, and you'll get a very good and optimized experience. And by their very nature, it allows for location independence. So in the COVID world, where we've got people working from home, everybody is independent and it's a win-win-win for all parties involved. Now, we're starting to see more and more organizations embrace this in kind of unique ways. And you've probably done this in your life already. If you've ever gotten in a Lyft or you've gotten in an Uber, if you've ever stayed in an Airbnb, well, guess what? You're utilizing something as a service. Now, there's a lot of really kind of interesting examples of this. Rolls-Royce, for example, you know, the luxury automobile manufacturer from the UK. Well, they're also very famous for their jet engines. And a long time ago, actually, they created what they call their power by the hour service, which instead of a airliner, let's say it's Southwest or Delta, having to purchase aircraft engines for millions and millions of dollars, instead they pay for those engines by hour of flight time. And essentially they are leased to these airlines for a prolonged period of time. And that service fee that they pay is based off of the number of hours that plane is in the air. And that service fee includes not only the use of the engine, but the maintenance and other telemetry servicing and monitoring that comes along with it. We have transportation as a service. The most easy examples of this are Uber and Lyft, you know, and I'm sure most of us have taken a ride in one of these service providers at some point. What's beautiful about this, you know, if I'm in a, you know, place like I don't live, let's say San Francisco or Washington, D.C., instead of having to rent a car or drive my own vehicle there, well, I can, as a service, get somebody to take me across town as need be, and I pay them for the duration of that trip. You know, instead of having to buy the car, essentially I can just utilize one of these providers. And in fact, if you read a lot of the future planning for both Uber and Lyft, they're really kind of gearing their services so that people in urban environments will have the choice between buying a vehicle or just utilizing these services. They're trying to bring the cost down so that it's comparable, that someone can get all of their transportation between ride-sharing services and the other choice would be to buy a car. You know, and so in this case, you might choose to forego buying that car if you live in an urban environment like New York or San Francisco or LA, and instead use one of these services. Accommodation is a service. Instead of owning a house somewhere far away in tropic, instead I can rent your home for a set fee per night, you know, and I get the benefits of home ownership in terms of having a kitchen and multiple bedrooms and being a little bit more comfortable compared to a hotel. But again, I get that as a service provided to me, and it's very simple and easy. I just pay for what I would like to use. So as a service, I see continuing to grow and expand over the coming years. And I think we're going to start to see really interesting examples of this pop up in all different types of environments over the next 10 to 15 years. So I'm pretty excited to see where this is going to go. All right, let's have our first review question for today's class. What level of cloud offers the best combination of features, customization, and cost savings? Is it the traditional approach, infrastructure as a service, platform as a service, or software as a service? Now, in my opinion, I think it's infrastructure as a service. I get complete control over where my data is hosted, what provider has it, what type of environment it runs in, lots of control over pretty much anything I might want to use, and I can customize it as needed. And it gives me all the benefits of cloud tech without having the high-end cost typically approached with a software as a service provider. So I think it's the overall best and the good fit for most organizations. All right, let's go ahead and go into our next section. This is going to discuss remote access options. So we're going to go ahead and talk about some of the major ways that your staff can be able to connect and work with your office, even if they're working from home during COVID. And again, I want to point out, if you're a financial professional and you're listening to today's podcast, you can earn a credit for taking a short test, and you can earn your CPE credit for listening to this podcast. Complete the short exam, you'll get a certificate of completion, and you got another credit to help you along your way for maintaining your professional license. For more information on this, please go to cpetoday.com, use course code CTW2, and you'll find our class today. Exam will take you a minute or two, and you'll earn a credit for today's broadcast. Now, with respect to different ways of connecting outside of the office, there's no shortage of methods. And often you're not going to use just one, but you'll probably use a combination of several different methods depending on what you're doing. Now, the backbone of most methods is VPN, or virtual private network. The VPN allows you to be able to securely access your office from your home, from a hotel room, from a Starbucks down the street, and it allows you to be able to connect and access things like printers, shared drives, or even your local computer. Now, the way that this does is that it encrypts the traffic between your computer and your company network. No one on the local network or in that Starbucks or in that hotel can see what you're accessing or modify essentially the information being presented. Essentially, they just see it as encrypted traffic. And it allows for your computer, even though it's not in the same geographic space, to access internal resources like files, documents, printers, and more, just like if you were sitting in the office connected to that local Wi-Fi. Now, with respect to VPN, there's lots of different options, but when it comes to corporate VPNs, it's almost always set up by your IT staff, and it's a foundational thing that a lot of organizations will just have. Now, if you can visualize it in terms of what this looks like, again, you're never in the same space with respect to the VPN. You're in your home, you're in the Starbucks, and you're connecting. Now, the way you connect is over the same internet connection that you watch Netflix or play games on Xbox or watch YouTube videos, but it creates a tunnel. And that tunnel allows for your computer, even though you're not in that same space, to be able to access those files and access printers and access scanners and things of this nature while they're not in that same geographic space. And all the while, external to that VPN connection, you know, think about the other people at the Starbucks, think about the other devices in your home network. They can't see and decipher that traffic. It's essentially there. They can see that there's a connection, but they can't decipher and find anything about that. And so it's a great way to be able to work and access stuff that's in your office while not being in that physical office itself. Now, VPN technology is built into just about everything, and you've got a lot of options with respect to different ways that you can connect this and different ways that you can utilize it. It's built in, and it's a native part, for example, of most internet routers, as well as most operating systems for servers. It's a native component, for example, to Windows Server. So if you're already utilizing Windows Server in your business, well, guess what? This is a really easy and effective way of being able to provide remote access to your staff, even if they're not in that same place. And even post-COVID, you're probably going to still have people working from remote locations, whether it be the client office or occasionally maybe telecommuting from home. This is a foundational piece of connectivity that should be present in all networks. Now, accessing computers is often what most people are looking to do. You know, if they're working from home on their notebook or they're working from their home computer, they often want to remote in, maybe to access the accounting system or the ERP system. And one of the easiest ways of being able to do this is utilizing a tool from Microsoft, which is, again, also built directly into Windows, called Remote Desktop Protocol, RDP. Sometimes also referred to as RDC, Remote Desktop Connection. Both those terms will work. They're interchangeable for the most part. And this is a wonderful tool. It's probably the overall best remote access tool because it's built directly into Windows. It's easy to operate. And it feels just like if you're on that remote computer with very, very little latency. It's efficient. It's fast. It's fantastic. And generally, it's my preferred method. However, because it's so widely used and because it's built directly into Windows, it does present significant security risks. And if we look at, for example, a lot of organizations where they've experienced data breaches, it's because of this technology. Now, RDP in and of itself, not bad, not wrong. It's great. And if you take the right steps to be able to secure it, you're going to have no issues at all. Now, at the very minimum, you should be utilizing RDP behind a VPN. So if you can kind of think about how that would operate, you would connect your VPN, okay, which would then bridge your computer and your home office to your office workplace, and then you would connect through RDP thereafter. This way, it does not publicly expose the computer that you're remotely connecting to the public internet. It still is behind your organization's firewall, behind their NAT, network address translation, and it requires an additional step to be able to connect. And this is the secure way of being able to do this. And as long as you've got a VPN in front of it and you've got some good rules with respect to strong passwords, you're probably going to be okay. Now, if you're really wanting to take it to the next level, you're always going to want to utilize two-factor authentication or TFA as much as possible. Two-factor authentication is fantastic for this because in the event that your password is compromised, someone still will not be able to connect to that computer unless they also have the device that generates that two-factor code. Most often a text message or maybe a key fob that you have, but two-factor authentication in addition to the VPN will make remote desktop protocol safe and secure for your organization. Now, if you don't want to use RDP, another option is VNC. Okay. VNC has been around forever, and there are a variety of companies and providers that offer this. TeamViewer is one that a lot of people end up using. GoToMyPC is another example of like a VNC service. My personal choice would be Real VNC. It's secure, it's reliable for screen sharing, it allows you to remotely be able to access a computer, transfer files, connect to printers. It's great if you want to remotely access your work computer from home. Doesn't really require any major configuration, doesn't require any changes on your organization's firewall or anti-malware solutions. It's got great security, and it's one of the largest capable and compatible services that are out there. Whether you're using a Windows machine connecting to a Mac, or if you're on a Mac connecting to a Linux machine, virtually everything supports RealVNC, and in a lot of ways, they really kind of created this space. Now, they have a cloud-based service, which is what a lot of folks end up using. And the cloud-based service is totally free for your first 5 devices. So, you know, if you're a person that's just looking to connect to their remote computer, this is a great way of being able to do, and it's a great solution for small business and also personal use. A lot of people, for example, will use this for providing remote support to family members that might need additional technical support as needed. And overall, I like this because of how widely they support devices, you know. And so I've got friends and family that are utilizing Mac or Linux or Windows. Doesn't matter the device that they're using, I'm able to use RealVNC to be able to connect and help them. So give them a look. Now, we also have another type of technology. It's called VDI. Now, VDI is like remote access, but it's a little bit more robust. A virtual desktop interface, a VDI, is like a traditional desktop experience, but instead of being on the local computer, it's on a centrally managed server or cloud provider. If we're utilizing a service provider such as Azure or AWS, we have essentially one or maybe multiple big, beefy remote access servers that everybody accesses directly. Essentially, all of us are accessing remote. It's not like with RealVNC or RDP, we're accessing a individual workstation in a network. We're always accessing with VDI a server based in a data center, either our data center or a public data center like Azure or AWS. And in a nutshell, all workers are working remote, regardless if they're in the office or home. And all work is being conducted on these centralized servers managed by a company. Now, this is a really good approach, and it's become much more common as the costs have come down and the configuration has come down. A lot of organizations have had this for years, but it required a lot of complex configuration to be able to do this. Well, now I can do all of this very simply and easily, and it's a great stopgap for a lot of proprietary applications that don't have a native cloud or mobile component or legacy applications. I can essentially move them into this virtual desktop, and everybody gets access to what they need. Now, this also goes hand in hand with application and data hosting. And so in this particular instance, we're talking about all the different applications that we utilize, our tax software, our accounting software. We merge them and move them all into a virtual desktop experience. And all applications reside on that single server or maybe a cluster of small servers. And what's nice about this is that I only have to upgrade and maintain a small number of devices. I don't have to walk around the office updating each individual machine. And I update one, maybe two servers, and we all get access to that software. And this works for pretty much any application. So it's a really good approach for a lot of different types of organizations. And it's a way of being able to standardize and simplify access, especially if we have people working from home. You know, their individual computer doesn't matter. As long as they can get to the internet and access this, they're able to get online. They're able to do their work. Now, if you're looking to do this, a really simple and fast approach for this would be Amazon Workspaces. Amazon Workspaces is essentially a centralized managed desktop in the cloud. Any Windows application is supported with this. It's a really simple approach for getting people up and online. And prices range from about $45 to $200 per month, just depending on your specific needs, available pretty much worldwide. And if you use this service, essentially it's a VDI for all of your staff to be able to get up and operate. All right, let's go ahead and have our second review question. Which method of remote access is fast, secure, and widely available on all devices? Is it a virtual private network? Is it a virtual desktop interface, virtualized streamed apps, or all of the above? Well, you guessed it. It is all of the above. In 2021, the cost of this technology, the use of this technology has come down so dramatically. Pretty much all devices can support any one of these approaches, fast, secure, and even cost affordable now. Okay, let's go into our last part of our presentation today, which is my technology recommendations. In this particular section, we're going to talk through some of the major tech that's out there. We'll talk through, for example, some of the major productivity and services that you can use for collaborative documents, as well as virtual meeting spaces, some portal solutions, and other cloud-based services that you might want to consider. And again, a reminder for our financial professionals that are out there, you can earn a credit for today's class. Again, go to cpetoday.com, use course code CTW2, take a quick exam, earn a credit, maintain your license. Okay. Now, in this section, I'm not going to cover every single slide, just depending on time, but I'm going to hit the stuff I think of most interest and most useful. And you're more than welcome to check out the other services that we don't talk about on your own, and shoot some questions and tweet us if you have any specific questions for your organization and how, what, and where these, some of these services might be used. Now, for most organizations, they need to choose kind of a base application or a productivity suite that's going to kind of be the basis of services that are out there. Now, in 2021, from my perspective, you really got three choices that you can do this. You got an Office approach with Microsoft, you got a Google approach with Workspaces, and you got Zoho as that third option. Now, in this, what these service providers do is they provide email, cloud calendar, shared contacts, sometimes project management, and other productivity tools that we're going to need. All three of these are being offered pretty much as a software as a service environment, although Office 365, Microsoft 365 still has an installable application that does provide local use for these applications. But what we're looking at is essentially the basis of productivity inside of our organization. Things like word processing, presentation software, spreadsheet, and others. And there's also communication services that go along with it. Instant messaging, shared calendar, storage, and certainly email. Now, all three of these are fantastic, and I use them all based off of different client engagements and different things that I'm doing. And they're going to suit your organization well, whether you're a startup all the way to a Fortune 500. And in fact, we're going to have a presentation here in the coming weeks looking at all three of these services and giving you flexibility and options and helping you choose which one might be the best fit for your organization. Now, Google, in my opinion, probably is the best overall SaaS tool, software as a service tool. In a lot of ways, they kind of created this space for cloud productivity. They've had, for example, their Gmail and Google Calendar tools for a long time, and they've gone through several iterations over the years. One of the beautiful things about Google is that it's natively cloud to begin with. There is no installed service or tool that can go with Google. It's always been cloud and always will be. Now, they do have some fantastic mobile apps, but this is a really good option for organizations that are very geographically dispersed and that absolutely do not want installed applications on their computers. So being natively built in the cloud, mobile is simple. Google has some fantastic mobile apps for Calendar, Gmail, and others, and Drive. And it's a really good solution for all size organizations, but I think they really shine in that SMB market where you don't want the headache of configuration, and you don't want necessarily all the other headache that comes with having a big enterprise solution. It doesn't have, for example, any financial stuff or CRM stuff or ERP stuff. It really just focuses on base productivity. So word processing or in spreadsheets through their Drive program, or in my opinion, they have the best email solution being Gmail. Also very cost effective. Most users end up spending about $7 per month per user. And there are some differences with respect to the amount of storage, but for the most part, the functionality is all the same. Now, in my opinion, the best overall platform that has probably the best features and function would be Microsoft 365, also Office 365, depending on how you license this. Now, Office 365, Microsoft 365 is as much of a licensing schema for Office as it is a cloud platform. When you choose to purchase Microsoft, or I should say license Microsoft 365, you get your licenses for Office, so Word, Excel, PowerPoint, Outlook, but then you also get things like cloud-hosted email or SharePoint for your document storage. It gets you the continuous updates from Office with respect to these applications, and you get those updates as soon as they become available. I would say this is probably your best overall value, and if you choose to use another provider like Google or Zoho, you're probably going to still end up needing Microsoft 365 just because of, again, it's the way we access licensing for Office, and frankly, there isn't a business in the world today that doesn't utilize Excel in some sort of meaningful way. Now, if you don't want a Microsoft approach, you don't want a Google approach, a third choice, and it's a powerful choice, and it's a great choice, is going to be Zoho. Zoho offers a robust set of tools to manage everything from communication to sales to customer service to accounting. They've even got cloud hosting. They've got over 30 tools to help organizations better communicate, sell more. And you can either buy it on a tool-by-tool basis, or you can just get the whole bundled solution. All their tools are cloud-based, very similar to how Google implements and shares their data and tools, and it's platform independent. So whether you're using an iPhone or an Android on the mobile side, or a Google or a Mac or a Windows device on the desktop side, totally works, and it will work regardless of device. Additionally, it's also really good for small organizations. Your first 10 accounts with the base Zoho product are free. So if you're just kind of getting your feet in the water, you're starting a new entrepreneurial effort, Zoho would be my choice for getting started. And if you choose to grow that business, I think you'll be very happy with their tools and products in the long run as your organization grows and scales as well. Now, for your COVID workplace, you're going to need to remain in touch with people, and meetings are a necessary component of any business. But the good news is that the meeting technology has really come a long way, and so you really can get the same experience without having to meet in person. And so there are a variety of tools that are out there, but you're going to want two types of tools. You need an internal meeting tool and you need an external meeting tool. Okay, why do you need both? Well, they answer different questions. They serve different things. I think you need an internal meeting tool to make, for example, instant messaging and calendar sharing and contact sharing and document sharing easy and effective for your staff. But you don't want to extend that same functionality, for example, to clients or to people outside the organization. And that's where you're going to want like a external tool. And I'm going to talk about both of those here. Now, the good news is you got lots of options here in terms of what you choose to utilize. And everybody can have the same conversation that they would have in person, but they get to do it from the comfort of their home, and you can avoid the travel. Even beyond COVID, whenever this is over, having to minimize travel can really save your organization a lot of money. Now, for your internal tool, you've really got two choices from my perspective. You've got Microsoft Teams and you've got Slack. Now, my personal preference would be Microsoft Teams. It's amazing what they've done with this product in the last couple of years. Really, in the last year, I mean, it's only been around maybe 2 years at most. It's a successor product to Skype for Business, and it's a completely different product, though. And it's fantastic. The other choice would be Slack. You know, if you're not utilizing a lot of Microsoft stuff, you'd probably be better served with Slack. But if you're already utilizing Office, Teams is definitely going to be what you want to use, and allows for instant messaging, video collaboration. And it's what our company, for example, utilizes to share files with each other and to communicate. We have staff all over the United States. And this allows us to be able to operate and communicate and video chat with each other like we're in the same place, but it's very fast and effective. Both these solutions are free too, you know, up to a certain number of users. So if you've got like a Boy Scout troop or small nonprofit, this is a great way to be able to provide that communication suite without really having to incur any costs that go along with it. Now, outside of your organization, there's going to be other tools that you're going to want to consider for external meeting. My personal choice for external meeting would be Zoom. I find Zoom to be fast, effective, and easy, and it's just a great overall solution. So in our company, we utilize both. We have Teams for our internal communications, and we use Zoom for meeting with clients or anybody outside the company. And it makes the security, the management, and the maintenance of this fast, simple, and easy. Now, for your COVID workplace, you're also going to need a way to be able to disseminate information outside the company. You know, if you're utilizing Teams, for example, often that will be used in conjunction with SharePoint. So file sharing amongst colleagues are fast, simple, and easy. But if you're working outside of the company, you know, maybe you've got clients, for example, you need to send them tax returns. Maybe you need to get them to sign 8879s. You need to collect W-2 information. Well, some sort of document management, some sort of client portal solution is going to be something that you're going to want to consider. So lots of different choices with respect to what you've got out there, but a client portal is great because it allows for your organization to be able to create standalone portals to let clients self-service, whether they're, for example, sending you documents and files, or you're sending them a tax return or something to sign. That client portal is fantastic because it allows for asynchronous communication. I upload something, my client goes and downloads it when they want to. And it's also much more secure than what we would get with a traditional email approach. You know, with email, you run the risk that they accidentally forward it somewhere they shouldn't have forwarded to. But with a portal, you put it in the portal, they log in with the password of their choice. They can download that information and it's secured, and it's an internal ecosystem of exchange between financial professional and client. Now, in terms of choices that are out there, my personal preference is ShareFile from Citrix. Easy peasy. Very fast. It's also very preferential, especially for those of you who are in public accounting or other types of professional services. Integrates with Outlook, integrates with a variety of mobile devices, and you can create and your client portals very quickly. You know, you need to hold 200 clients. Great. Not a problem. 2000 clients. Not a problem. All the data is safe and secured, both in transit as well as in rest inside the organization. And it works really, really well for pretty much all size organizations. Now, if you want to know where do you store your files, you know, and have access to those files on any device that you choose to use. I'm a big fan of the Microsoft 365 platform, and I think OneDrive is the great personal file storage. So if I want to access my files on my mobile device, if I want to access my files on my work computer, on my desktop computer, OneDrive does the file sharing, syncing, and security across all the different devices that I utilize. And it also will integrate with all my company files too, using SharePoint. And so I think between these different applications, it's a really easy choice for most organizations. Now, you're also going to have a variety of applications that you can consider using inside your organization to provide, let's call it, enterprise functionality, you know, accounting, ERP, things of this nature. There's a lot of different choices that are out there. Okay. My personal choice, if you're looking to kind of reinvigorate your organization's, let's say, operating system, you know, accounting, finance, marketing, you can't go wrong with Dynamics 365. You know, it's 7 different enterprise applications, 100% built from the cloud. So if your controller is working from home in West Virginia, and your CFO is running reports in Illinois, and your CEO is in California, everybody's accessing this data natively in the cloud and being able to operate this from the salesperson all the way up to the intern, all the way up to the CEO and beyond. These 7 different applications represent a variety of different major form use cases inside of a business, from sales, customer service, operations, financial reporting, you name it. You know, so if your organization is looking to be cloud-based, a service like Dynamics 365 is going to be great because it doesn't matter where they're located. It's all natively built in the cloud, and your entire business operating system can run in the cloud, from accounting to marketing and really kind of everywhere in between. Now, if you're not looking for a Microsoft approach, Zoho also provides amazing enterprise applications that are all cloud-based. So it doesn't matter that you're not in the office due to COVID, you could still do all your sales and marketing and business processes and everything from HR to help desk and everything in between. That Zoho platform is going to provide for you. So if you'd like some contrast from the Microsoft approach, Zoho is definitely another solution to look at. And a really good solution for organizations that maybe don't want to bite off the massive project that is implementing Dynamics. This is a lot more approachable for running those enterprise services inside your company. Now, the last category of products that I think you're going to want to have in this COVID world are going to be project management. Okay. Now, if you've got people working from home, it's really important you keep everybody on the same page and everybody knows what they're working on and the status of different projects. If we look at, for example, a lot of companies where they run into issues is through communication, and people just don't know what you're working on and this, you know, where certain projects are in their lifespan. Are they near completion? Are they at the beginning? What issues are we having? Well, project management software traditionally has been quite onerous for a lot of organizations. Thankfully, though, there are 2 different companies and 2 different products here that I think take the headache out of project management. Okay. One is called Asana, and then the other one is called Trello. Okay. Now, Asana is a more traditional project management tool. It offers a really simple interface. You can actually do all of your project management by email or on a mobile device. And it's a great way of being able to keep track of projects, but it doesn't have all the major overhead that comes with running a large project management solution. You can basically keep track of the stuff you need to, but it automates a lot of the other stuff and makes it really simple for you to be able to push and pull data from where it needs to go. You can actually get started for free by just going to asana.com and signing up for an account. And this is a good solution for standard project management where you just want to track who's doing what, subtasks, tasks, hours, and you can do it all through email with exchanging of files and things of this nature. Now, my personal preference, though, is what's called the Kanban or Kanban style of project management, where it's project management, but it's more list and it's more graphical focused, and you have swim lanes represent major statuses and stages of a project. In my opinion, probably the best overall Kanban style of project management is Trello. Microsoft also has a plan called Planner. Also has a tool called Planner that if you're in the Microsoft ecosystem, you could check out as well. But if you're not using 365, Trello would be my choice. And it allows you to manage projects visually with boards, swim lanes, and tasks. Each task is represented by a card. There could be assignments of these cards to different people. You can track time. You can track assets. It's a really great way of being able to track. And if you got people outside of the office, understanding what they're working on and the status of these projects and where their blockers are and where they need help. These are both really useful tools to being able to keep everybody in the know. And it's going to keep your projects running, even if you don't have the opportunity to be face to face with other folks. So that's Trello.com. That's also a really good tool to utilize. All right, let's go ahead and have our third polling question for the day. Okay, which platform would be a fantastic tool for communication inside your organization? Is it Microsoft Teams? Is it Trello? Is it Slack? Is it all of the above? The answer here is all of the above. Teams and Slack are fantastic for video conferencing, exchanging of files, real-time communication. They're really good for facilitating a lot of meetings. Trello is also a great tool for communication too, because it gives you that project management where you can communicate on specific tasks and the status that goes along with it. But all of them are fantastic tools inside your organization. All right. Well, that does bring us to the end of our presentation for today. So what did we learn about? Well, we looked at the different levels of cloud technology. We looked at different and useful and powerful ways that this can be used inside your office. And I also give you a ton of options with respect to accessing data outside of the company, whether it be through VPN, through a virtual desktop, or maybe some of these really compelling cloud-based applications and just natively connecting and directing your organization to interact through that. Now, this is the second part of our course. We will have a third part of our COVID technology course, which is going to be an action plan for moving your office to the cloud. And so a lot of questions I get asked with this is, hey, Steve, how the heck do I make all this happen? Well, I'm going to give you a plan. I'm going to show you how I would build and facilitate a working plan to move your office from either a low level to a high level of cloud operations, or if you're in the traditional approach, to move to a more robust approach of utilizing cloud technology. And I'm going to give you my steps, one, two, three, four, and beyond with respect to how you'd actually facilitate this inside your company. So stay tuned for the third part of our COVID technology course. Now, if you have any questions about today's content or material, love to know what they are. You're more than welcome to connect with us on LinkedIn, Twitter, Facebook, and other places. On most social media, we're at CPE Today. If you'd like to send us a traditional email, by all means, please feel free to do so. It's questions@cpetoday.com, and you're more than welcome to leave a comment on any platform that you're consuming this. Now, again, as a reminder, if you'd like to get credit for today's class, if you're a financial professional, head on over to cpetoday.com, use course code CTW2. You take a quick 5-question exam, you'll earn a certificate, and you'll be well on your way to maintaining your license. So again, that is course code CTW2, and you get all the great benefits that come with purchasing the course. All right. So stay tuned. We do have some really exciting other courses coming up here. Later this week, we are going to have a round table discussion with K2. My colleagues, we've got Randy Johnston, Ward Blatch, Brian Tankersley. We're going to have a round table discussion about the CES 2021. CES is the Consumer Electronics Show. It is a long-standing trade show within the technology space. And for a lot of folks, it is the major show of the year where new products are released. My colleagues have been attending for years, and they're going to share some insight with respect to what happened at CES 2021 this year and what technology came from it. And so this will be the absolute bleeding edge in terms of all the new products and services that are out there. So please tune in on Friday at 11 o'clock Pacific, and you can learn about all the great technology and where you can utilize this inside your organization to get the benefits of some of the latest tech that's out there. Now, beyond that, we also have a number of other courses coming up soon. We've got our the first entrance in our Microsoft 365, Google, and Zoho course, talking about what these tools are and how they function. We're going to have another edition of our data sharing and integration course, as well as QuickBooks Online and others. So much great stuff to come. Stay tuned, stay with us, and there'll be lots more great courses that you can consider to come. It's been my absolute pleasure. Thank you so much for your time and attention today. I greatly appreciate that you attend our podcast. If you're watching this in real time, thank you for being with us. Consider liking and subscribing our videos and signing up for notifications. And if you're listening to this after this podcast is arranged, please consider leaving us a review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, wherever you happen to be consuming this information. Thank you for your time and attention. I wish you all the absolute best. Take care. Best wishes. Good luck.